This is Neighborly Differences, the podcast that compares and contrasts cities in close proximity to one another. I am Eliza Hogston, current undergraduate student at the seventh leading environmental school in America, the University of Michigan. Episode 1, Recycling Culture. This episode will cover cultural differences between two Detroit suburban cities, the impacts that they have on sustainability, and the best way to improve future recycling efforts within different areas. Coming from one of these Detroit City suburbs, I noticed there was a big difference between neighborhoods' ability to recycle easily. My hometown, Westland, had curbside recycling, while the neighboring city, Wayne, didn't. It seemed strange for them to be so close and similar to one another, but be so different when it came to sustainability prospects. I set out to get answers about why Wayne and Westland were so different. I met up with Darren Zilkeplatt, a current resident of an apartment complex in Westland. Even though the city had curbside recycling, the apartment complex was lacking. I asked about his efforts to recycle and why he continues to do so.
I recycle by looking at the containers that I have and seeing if they are recyclable, if there's a certain way they should be recycled. And then I separate them from my trash after cleaning them and put them in their own separate bin. I take the items to the recycling center that is for our community.
Isn't that like a big hassle?
It's worth it.
He explained that without curbside recycling, it was difficult to put forward recycling efforts by everyone in the community. But why exactly wasn't there curbside recycling?
I think funding in the communities is a large problem as far as why we wouldn't have curbside recycling or more recycling programs that aren't available. And then also just how it's looked at. I mean, most areas, recycling is looked at as a good thing, but for a lot of areas, it's just looked at as a hassle, or some people just don't really care for it, so they don't do it.
What are some ways to get like other people involved?
I would say by making it more available to them, show them how much it helps, or any kind of statistic that might make them correct their actions or do otherwise in regards to recycling.
Do you think educating them would help?
Yes.
Why?
Because, I mean, they always say spread awareness with the environment. Some people don't believe in global warming or climate change.
How do you feel about getting it more involved in, like, school curriculum?
Well, they always say that the youth is our future, so I would say trying to instill in this younger generation's mind on the importance of recycling would be a good idea, because they'd be more likely to try and implement it at home or somewhere else.
There seemed to be cultural aspects to all this madness. Some communities just weren't as interested in recycling as others. There had to be a way to encourage a culture change. I decided to investigate this idea of implementing recycling in schools. I set out to get answers about one of the main high schools of Wayne and Westland, and I talked to Andrew Dodds, current recycling organizer at the school, and I asked him how he helps with recycling in a school where the majority of the population is without recycling at home.
Once a week, I have students that help me out, my human anatomy and physiology classes. Those are kids that tend to be on a higher level, more mature side of our student population. And so I send them out and they go around the building and they collect recycling from all of the classrooms.
How much of like the recycled waste do you think like you guys collect?
I think it varies. I mean, we have, so at certain points of the year, it's really heavy. I would say on average, we're anywhere from maybe 200 to 500 pounds a week. But when we get to end of the semester or end of the school year, teachers throw out everything. I actually have to take a really large bin and use the elevator and collect floor by floor different hours, because it's a lot of recycling, but I think it's a good thing.
He was constantly introducing the students to this recycling effort and getting them involved in ways not offered by the school. I got his thoughts on implementing it in the teachings at school.
Well, I think that would be a really good thing. I try to talk to my students as much as possible, and I know with curriculum in general, we have new standards, and we're supposed to be pushing earth science curriculum. So I think this would be something that would really go along with earth science curriculum. I think it would be really good for the students to have. I think it's one thing, I mean, the environment, it's an important topic, especially nowadays. I think we should be, our students that are going through school here should be more aware of the environment than most others in the country. So I think it would be a good thing.
And then, like, how do you think getting students more involved, how will it affect, like, future recycling efforts?
It makes them more aware. They'll have a step up on others, maybe in terms of what can be recycled and really reducing their garbage down to the lowest level possible.
Therefore, it seems that gaining recycling education in the new generation of children will change the cultural differences we see today. True, schools are doing a lot to introduce the communities to recycling efforts, but implementing it in teachings at schools like Wayne Memorial can make a bigger difference than they already have. Because in a recent study by the Pew Research Center, it shows that there has to be a strong encouragement of recycling in the community in order to get recycling to be curbside. The future of sustainable recycling efforts depends on children fighting for easy access to recycling. Maybe cities without curbside recycling can put forth recycling more and get curbside recycling. Children can be encouraged. They can make a difference. They can save the environment. And all that needs to be done is introduce the idea to them at a young age. This has been Neighborly Differences. Thanks for listening. And a special thanks to Darren Zilke-Platt for creating the music for this podcast.